At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get 1 pound packs of flavorful Private Selection Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $5.99 each. Then get select varieties of Lay's or Kettle Cooked potato chips for $1.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Besides my blurry camera, you would think that the most expensive webcam on the market would do better than that. But here we are. Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Ross Sapp. It is October 21st, 2024. Denise will be back this week. She has no dedication to the game, but I am dedicated to you guys. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chats and humper chats in if you want to get your questions or statements read on the air. And I know there's plenty to talk about between Samantha Irvin. We got Bound for Glory coming up. Maple Leaf Pro had an outstanding, basically, TNA Canada show. We've got top container matches tonight. All kinds of stuff. Lillian Garcia is back. New Intercontinental Champion. The Carlito line that I was very surprised that they said. Lots to get into here. Leave a thumbs up. Drop a fruit emoji. Let us know that you are here. And our great moderator, Luis, is going to be helping me out here. But get those super chats, get those humper chats in if you want your questions or statements read on the air. As always, brought to you by FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. We had an update on the Samantha Irvin stuff. Ricochet says she's not going to AEW. People I talk to say they would be very surprised if she wasn't at least made an offer. So let's get right into that. This afternoon, Samantha Irvin had revealed that she would be finishing up with WWE, no longer with the company, and she was effectively replaced by Lillian Garcia, who we'll talk about tonight. So, Samantha is, in my opinion, one of the best ring announcers they've ever had. I know there's a lot of people that are very passionate in saying otherwise, but listen, I came up during the Pride FC days of MMA, so I'm a fan of the over-the-top elements of her presentation. Seems to be a wonderful person. Everybody that I talked to really loved working with her. She definitely made Chelsea Green's entrance something special. But it's a situation where she wants to go and do some different things. There were a lot of people that thought once Ricochet, who was her fiance, left, that she would be leaving eventually. There were some people that I had seen said that they had heard about it a month ago. There were other people that were in WWE that were shocked by it, especially on the SmackDown side. But it wasn't something that like they found out today. They flew Lily in there and she was there for the show. It would appear, at least according to, I think it's the Kermit on Reddit. Is that the right name for that? And Worked Wrestling, that Lillian would be full time. Still working to find that out. We did report that Lillian was backstage on FightfulSelect.com. And of course, she was used today. Just want to send the best of Samantha Irvin. She was always really, really wonderful in every interaction that I've had with her. And I have never, ever heard a negative thing about her at work. There was I was at a show at Rupp Arena, I think it was, and there was some woman who was like grinding on her boyfriend in the front row. And I'm talking like this is like if one of the characters that Anna Faris had played in one of the movies where she, you know, plays virtually the same character had went really wrong. This woman was there and kept saying that she knew Chelsea over and over again and went up to Samantha, who couldn't have been nicer to her, but obviously this woman was a little off her rocker. And she's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, my friend Chelsea works here. My friend Chelsea works here. Do you know her?" And I'm like, "Whoa, what? Why would this woman, after behaving the way that she is in the front row, just like straight up be like, yeah, here's my friend that's responsible for this?" And obviously, if your friend is Chelsea Green, you're gonna know that Samantha Irvin knows your friend. So that was the first like, huh? So I messaged Chelsea and I was like, "Hey, your friend is here. She's grinding all over her boyfriend in the front row. It's like a kid near them. And she's taking pictures of Samantha, like name dropping you." And Chelsea goes, "I have never spoken to that woman in my life." So that's my most recent memory of Samantha Irvin, because Samantha was just doing her best to be a polite person, just doing her best to be a polite person. And I'll never forget seeing that. But cool experience. It's when Ricochet was still with WWE. Ricochet's family was seated right behind me. And first off, his brother looks just like him, but it was like the sweetest thing ever. Ricochet's dad leaned over to me and tapped my shoulder and he pointed at Samantha Irvin and he goes, "That's my daughter," meaning, you know, his soon to be daughter-in-law, which was just like the sweetest thing humanly possible. Best of luck to Samantha Irvin. I think she had some incredible calls. She is a multi-talented woman. Somebody said, "Oh, I thought you meant she was grinding Ricochet." No, absolutely not. It was no. I realize how that could be misconstrued. No, the woman was grinding on her own boyfriend and name dropping Chelsea, and Chelsea had no idea who it was. And when she asked Samantha, "Oh, do you know my friend Chelsea?" Obviously, I'm like, okay, this woman don't have a damn clue who Chelsea is. Damn, man. Damn. Should AEW still make Samantha an offer to join AEW despite what Ricochet said? Yes, they should. They should make her the offer if that's what she wants to do. I will say this. They got a family and travel is not fun. I do not know how wrestlers can do it, man. I travel about once every other month or so, and I am zapped for like a week afterwards. So more power to them doing whatever they want. And the reality is Samantha is going to have a lot of options. Gonna have a lot of options. Let's talk about WWE Raw. Jonathan Corona says, "Wanted to say I'm back from Japan. Well, I got back last week on Monday, but I was so tired from the jet lag and the time difference. If you want to know anything from Japan, Sean, I got you." I've never made a trip to Japan. I feel like me going to a place where, first off, I don't speak the language, but I also can't read their alphabet, would be very difficult for me. Although with the, you know, the advent of smartphones and stuff, maybe not so much. Jonathan Coronis says, do you think it was a Lee Fitting call of letting her go or a Triple H call? The timing of this was bad, in my opinion. I don't know this, but I believe it was her own decision. I believe it was her own. I think they would have loved to have kept her. I think they would have loved to have kept her as a part of the team. And she was somebody that WWE liked. She went viral an awful lot. She got a lot of positive attention. People just like her in general. Lillian did have a tough time tonight. In the tag team contender match, she said the top tag team containers. And she said former world champion Liv Morgan. So, I mean, she's going to need some reps, obviously. She's going to need to obviously get used to it. And she's not been full-time at this in a very long time. So, I think she'll get there. She'll get there. And this woman doesn't age. This woman doesn't age. She looks incredible. Lillian Garcia's 58, guys. You would never know it. Also, I mean, her podcast used to be really good, by the way. Missed that thing. It was a good one. So, Seth Rollins, Bronson Reed. If you have watched this show for any extended period of time, you know that I am very big on Peter Griffin versus the Chicken storylines. I have always thought that a situation in which two guys just fight and they will not stop is the perfect preface for an emotional feud, one that turns into wins and losses mattering because they want to beat up the other person. That's what it's about. I will constantly bring this up. Stone Cold Steve Austin debuted in December 95 for WWF. He got on TV in like January, right? As the ringmaster. And it was just a cold debut. I loved him because he had the $1 million belt and I was a giant, you know, mark for the $1 million belt and all that stuff. And anybody that had Ted DiBiase seal of approval, I was like, hell yeah, brother. But it just clearly wasn't working. I'm not sure how familiar you all were with the early days of the Ringmaster and Steve Austin, but it was not working. He beat up Matt Hardy in an enhancement match, and he beat Marty Jannetty and had Scotty Too Hotty before he was Scotty Too Hotty. He had a Royal Rumble match where he wasn't supposed to get eliminated, and he did, and that was supposed to help launch him. And it just wasn't going, man. It wasn't going. And within like a month and a half, they dropped that Ringmaster name. Like, it was shockingly quick. Like, for all of the discussion about the Ringmaster name, they dropped it really quick for the Stone Cold Steve Austin thing. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't even know who Steve Austin was at that stage. But about a month, maybe 3 weeks after that, he is booked in a completely, I don't want to say completely cold match, but a relatively cold match against Savio Vega, because they had been put in a tag team tournament or something, and it was a random draw and it didn't work out for them. And Savio Vega and Steve Austin had this relatively cold match on Raw. And it went to a double count out, and they just beat the living shit out of each other. And I promise there's a point of it. I was like, oh my God, they just wouldn't stop. And instantly, I was invested in this feud. I was like, oh my God, I want to see him fight again. I want to see him keep going at it. And they did. They went to have a great feud. This is that to, I think, in a far advanced degree. Now, we have seen this with Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, and Braun Strowman got over massively in that. We saw it with Bronson Reed and Braun Strowman. I just love the idea that everybody that Bronson Reed feuds with ends up with this Peter Griffin versus the Chicken storyline. I am really fond of it. because I buy into this guy doing it. Listen, other people are going to be faster than him, but he's going to be able to withstand more punishment and really lay him out. And we saw this threaded throughout the show. And Adam Pearce is like, all right, this is what you all want. Fine, crown jewel, you got this match. And they're talking that trash to each other. And this was perfectly set up before Seth Rollins' absence. If you're not going to have a guy like Seth Rollins on TV, write him off like they did with Bronson Reed. My God, that rehabbed the man, right? Like, and then he lost the match to Braun Strowman, but it didn't hurt him because Seth Rollins came back and cost him that match. Now, I've got my qualms with the frequency of how often things like that are happening at the end of matches, which I'll get into, but man, Bronson Reed has been killing it in this role. Stephen Harden says, do you see Bronson going over Rollins at Crown Jewel? Will Rollins feud with Punk afterwards? I could see Punk going after Gunther at Survivor Series. I think Gunther should win that match. I think Bronson and Rollins might continue into Survivor Series. And then afterwards, Punk and Rollins. I mean, by then, you're going into Raw on Netflix and Saturday Night's main event area. I think you should have Rollins and Punk reignite their feud at WrestleMania or at Royal Rumble and go towards WrestleMania with that, Stephen. Meat Norma says, only deranged people put cheese whiz on meat. Now let's crank. The show started out hot. Peter Griffin chicken shenanigans were great. Seth winning. I think Seth will win this feud, but I don't know if he needs to. I actually think I think it's probably best that Bronson Reed wins this because I don't know if Seth needs to. In fact, I think that Seth losing and having the ready-made excuse of, is he that healthy? Will that be the case? I think that one works well. Hey, Sean, is there something that led to Samantha's departure? Yeah, she put in her notice. She quit. Did her contract expire or were they renegotiating a new one? Just off on money. That I don't know. PW Insider saying WWE is made aware today. I'll dig more into that because there were people that claimed that they had heard of that like a while back, or at least people close to her felt like they knew it a while back. But I mean, they had Lillian there today, so. Samuel Muscle says, I think it's hilarious that Deaf Rebel literally put in their name that they can't hear. Damn. Jonathan Corona with a big super chat. Thank you. He says, actually, Sean, no, in Japan, a lot of people use Google Translate for talking. A lot of them use it. And when I was there, we walk a lot, like every day. We walk 8 or 9 miles. We ride a lot of trains and buses. The food was good. The rooms of the hotel. Well, I think I'll eventually get out there. I think eventually I will, but imminently, probably not. But I'm glad that you had fun. It's just, I am greatly intimidated going somewhere where I don't speak the language and can't read the alphabet whatsoever. So hopefully one day I'll get over that and maybe make that trip, especially for, you know, Wrestle Kingdom or something like that. That would be cool. Contenders tourney, not the Containers tourney. New Day defeated AOP thanks to R-Truth. R-Truth no longer confused. He attacks Miz during this match. I got some issues here, friends. So I'm okay if AOP doesn't like win a title match or get pushed heavily or anything like that. I'm okay with that. But I really felt like the opportunity to bring them back was to bring them back in something effective. I think Karrion Kross has done a really, really good job. First off, changing the perception. There were a lot of people that didn't like him, thought he was corny and stuff, didn't like his NXT run, didn't think he could work, didn't think he was an interesting character. I think he's a very interesting character. However, them all getting beaten down week after week after week, I'll tell you where I draw the real problem. AOP getting beaten with schoolboy roll-up pins. I'm sorry, I do not look at this and say, you know what? These 300-pound guys, roll-up pins, that's how I'd do it. I'd rather they get, you know, beat up, pinned, straight up. I don't like the roll-up pin element of this on them. I don't like the roll-up pin at all. But if you're going to do one, it better be a great one. New Day move on here. R-Truth helps them out. I'm okay with New Day winning because it adds another wrinkle to their story because I'm interested in that. I'm invested in that. They're giving me more and more reasons to not be invested in. And somebody says, fair, but he also kicked out at 3.1. No, there was nothing about the roll-up pin that made me believe that he would be down for one. Not at all. Much less 3.1. Much less that. Cool with New Day winning, but Meat Norma says AOP's booking is meat mismanagement, and I'm mad. There was a point where if you would have put AOP with Samoa Joe, I would have completely bought them against the Shield, man. Completely would have bought them against the Shield. And now they're just guys. Well, now it seems like they are guys that the Wyatts are targeting because Joe Gacy and I believe Rowan attacked AOP. And did they stand any chance against the Wyatts? But Uncle Howdy gets involved. Uncle Howdy goes after Miz, ends up putting the mandible claw on Paul Ellering. But I am very excited to watch Paul Ellering whip Uncle Howdy's ass. He's coming back for revenge. He's going to bring Rocco back. I don't know. I mean, obviously the Wyatts are going after Miz in some capacity, but they also went after Final Testament. So it seems like an all-encompassing thing. And Final Testament have Scarlett involved as well, so they can go with that. Ryan says, Sean, any update on Becky Lynch, her WWE status? When's a realistic time you think she can return? She can return legitimately whenever she wants. Both Becky and WWE just assumed they would pick up the relationship at some point. That's the latest I had heard, and that she is very much enjoying her time off. And they wanted to respect that. Sky Pirates are backstage. They challenge Liv and Raquel. The way this was shot was very unusual. Like, they wanted Liv Morgan to appear way higher or way taller than she actually was. If you go back and look at this, it was very strange. Like, there's like a 2-inch height difference between she and Io and she and Kyrie, I believe. But she towered over them. And I was like, all right, well, they wanted their match tonight. Liv and Raquel wouldn't give it to them because they got their own match. That match was, well, or they didn't want to give it to them tonight, but they did get the match. Sorry about that. It ends in DQ. And there was a lot of this tonight, guys. Oh, my God. There was a lot on this. The first match of the night had the Wyatts do the thing at the end, and R-Truth got involved. This match had Jakar Jackson and Lash Legend get involved, and then Rhea got involved. And then later on, LWO and the Creed brothers and Zelina and Io get into it. And then Zelina and Ivy get into it. Then at the end of the show, there's that too. And I'm like, my God, there wasn't like one clean, non-shenanigan finish on any of these matches. Any of them. Jakara and Lash, they're getting thrown right into the fire, man. Like, they are getting thrown right into the deep end, and they are getting a lot of main roster screen time. Now, for everybody asking, like, if they were still involved with NXT, Adam Pearce did say later on he's going to contact the GM to make sure it gets all squared away, because obviously Liv and Raquel aren't happy with it. Sky Pirates and Liv and Raquel goes to a DQ because of that, because Jakara and Lash got involved, even though later on there were a ton of shenanigans and no DQ there. I guess you could say, ref's discretion in that sense, but It still feels a little bit like Raquel's timing is off, and that's understandable because she's missed a lot of time. And I think this is the best situation, but the best situation for her to really sort of get her foothold. But, man, this one, by the end of the night, I was just like, okay, shenanigans. It seems like they're giving more care to the respective tag team divisions of the men and the women. We saw a War Raiders vignette there in the tag team title finals or tag team tournament finals. But it doesn't matter if you book the matches, if, like, who gets over? You know what I mean? If this is always the finish, who gets over? Because if there's always shenanigans, the person losing doesn't get over. The person causing the shenanigans doesn't get over. And the person winning won a match because of somebody else's involvement. So I'm just like, man, can we just chill on that? A little bit? Damn, man. Finishes weren't good tonight, I didn't think. We had a Gunther promo backstage. We're going to circle back to Liv and Raquel and Judgment Day in general. Gunther is confronted by Damian Priest. And I love this. Everything that Damian Priest did and said was baby face, man. JM says, pre-Saudi episodes feel like a filler arc. They do. So, Damian Priest approaches Gunther and he says, I was worried about the Judgment Day after I lost the world title, but now I'm done with them. By the way, Finn Balor ain't done with him. Finn Balor is very concerned about Damian Priest regaining the world championship, and he does not want that. He's made that abundantly clear. Damian Priest then says, don't worry. You can say that I don't deserve it because I'm going to earn it just like I earn everything. I am very glad to hear that because far too much in wrestling, especially with baby faces, we get people that come up and they're like, you know, I deserve this. I deserve that. Instead of just being like, no, I'm not going to give you a decision. I'm not going to give you a choice. I'm going to win so many matches and put myself in positions and scenarios in which you can't say no to giving me a title shot. And that's what Damian Priest did. And I think that Damian Priest certainly delivered in his world championship programs. I think that that man kept showing that he was worth it. And I mean, obviously he gained the trust of WWE. And I mean, they had the Money in the Bank briefcase on him while his contract was actively coming up. We got Eddie Melendez saying, you don't think Punk beats Gunther with a Goldberg interference? Punk as Raw. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Netflix champion. Seth wins, Rumble faces Punk night one. Oh, man. Yeah, I do think that could happen, actually. I just think that if they have Goldberg cost someone the title, it baby faces that person for a lot of people. You know what I mean? I'm all for Goldberg getting, if not his storybook ending, at least the type of send-off that he wants to get. Especially after seeing the kind of send-off that Sting got and knowing that Goldberg wasn't happy with the way that he went out, I would really like to see that guy who, even though I don't think that he certainly isn't one of my favorite wrestlers, don't really like him as a personality, don't like his in-ring work that much. He was so over, and he provided a lot to wrestling. And if 2.5 years later, 3 years later, he wants something better than a six-minute Roman Reigns match in Saudi, then okay. But man, I don't want to see Gunther losing to him. I don't want to see that. And if it's the same old booking, it'll put me to sleep. But let me tell you what happens when I get put to sleep.
HelixSleep.com/Fightful. If you've heard me talk about Helix, you know what I was talking about regarding my sleeping situation before I found Helix. I was on a slab of memory foam. It messed up my back. I was looking for a mattress, but I didn't want to go to the mattress store and roll around on something other people had been on. But I wanted to make sure I got the right mattress for me. I found the 30,000 plus 5-star reviews from Helix. I saw them in GQ, in Wired, in Good Housekeeping, and I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. I went to HelixSleep.com. I took their sleep quiz, and I got matched up to the Dusk Luxe model. Now, before, I was only a back sleeper. Now, I'm able to sleep on my back and my side because they personalize that mattress. They find the right one for you. And after that, I hit them up and I said, I love your product so much, I want Fightful to do business. They have a great 100-day money-back guarantee. Not only that, you take their sleep quiz, you match up to the mattress that's right for you. They get flexible payment plans as well. There's no reason you shouldn't try Helix Sleep. Invest in your sleep, because ideally you spend 1/3 of your life in bed. And that's just the sleeping part, my friends. HelixSleep.com/Fightful.
Love Helix Sleep. Got a bunch of messages about Samantha Irvin while I was fielding a few. A lot of people. So there were some people close to her on Twitter that were saying that they had known a while back, but everybody else that I'm talking to was very surprised by this. So seemed abrupt, but I'll work to find out more. Oh my God, Demon Diva. You still got a mod wrench here, too. SMH. Liv and Raquel speak with Judgment Day. So Liv wants to see Dom as a champion. Dom has been hinting that he's going after the Intercontinental title, right? And then Carlito, like, giggles at the idea. And Raquel's not happy with that. And Raquel's like, what do you even do here? And Carlito's trying to impress her, and he's like, oh, well, I'm a fixer. I'm a fixer. Oh, boy. So Carlito goes into the office, Adam Pearce's office, and he sees Io and Kyrie very upset about what happened earlier. And as they leave, he says, and I quote, I got to learn Chinese. When I posted that quote, I knew the type of reactions that I was going to get. I'd get a whole bunch of goofballs that would say, only woke people would be bothered by this. Meanwhile, there is a media member that I don't want to name him because
I don't want to, you know, send any stress his way, but somebody that, that very important person to me, very wonderful person who is subjected to those types of comments all the time, who said, yeah, I'm subjected to that exact comment often, and it's not fun and it's not cool. No, no pun intended. And listen, I understand this. Carlito's gimmick is that he's stupid. Like, that's his gimmick, is that he's dumb and sophomoric and all that. This was a very Vince thing. This was a very Vince McMahon thing. And not only that, Io herself had been subjected to that in the past in NXT, where somebody shouted that at her. And I'm just like, why is it necessary? Like, was it wasn't like a funny line or anything. It wasn't like a, damn, man, well, it might piss off some people, but it's a hilarious line. And Zach Fisher says First Amendment. Okay, first off, Zach Fisher, learn what the fuck the First Amendment means. Learn what the fuck it means, you absolute doofus. Because nobody is infringing on freedom of speech by saying that line was stupid. Why do it? You absolute dope. What are we doing here? What kind of doofus behavior is that? Where are we as a society where people who are affected by this, and believe me, you are going to see people of Japanese descent that both have a problem with it and don't have a problem with it. But where are we in society that just because somebody wants to be loud and dumb and scream the word woke without knowing what it means, and because they're louder than everybody else in saying that, that it should somehow diminish the importance of what that might mean to somebody else? And I understand it was supposed to be, or at least people are saying, well, it's supposed to be a what a moron line. Yeah, but I wasn't coming out of that saying Carlito's a moron, even though he should have said no to that line. I came out of that saying whoever wrote that line is a moron. Because we have been witness to numerous documentaries and articles by Rolling Stone this past week from writers in the company who have said that they have felt like they had to do things or they would be fired. Like, listen, I am certainly not a Vince Russo guy, right? I think that's abundantly clear. He was on the Piers Morgan thing and he said, well, there's reasons I didn't write the women in those types of things with Vince McMahon. They could not have said no because they were answering creative to me. So an awful lot of times there are people who feel like they can't say no. Shit, he's getting any type of creative. What position is he to say no? Well, first off, I'll tell you what position. A guy who's a 20-year-plus vet should have said no to that. Like, what is the benefit? You know what I mean? Now, I understand that my social media conduct is certainly not one that I can wag fingers at people, and I am definitely not perfect. Yeah, the way that I look at it when, you know, stuff emerges and people are like, oh my God, that aged horribly for a lot of things, whether it be tweets or content on wrestling, I usually ask them to watch an R-rated movie from that point in time, because that is sort of a reflection of society. Whether or not we are proud of it is another thing. But what was the benefit? Like, what's the benefit here? And I know that can be applied to an awful lot of different things. You could say, well, what's the benefit of this? What's the benefit of that? Well, what's the benefit of this People are saying, are we sure that line was scripted and not Carlito going off script? No, we're not. I don't know that, but I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, it was unscripted. I'm not saying that. I do not have that answer. Do not have that answer. I was just like, meh, why? Why? And then I got to listen to these doofuses that don't know the meaning of certain words. Go sit there and say, well, everybody that's upset is a snowflake. Meanwhile, they are bitching in the replies. Man. Jared says, who do you have being in the women's War Games match? I don't know if we're gonna. I don't know if they are gonna have a women's War Game match right now. Because, like, where does that fit in? You know what I mean? Like, Bloodline, to me, Bloodline and Bloodline is such a surefire War Games match. Like, it's obvious. It's obvious. So I wouldn't water that down. I would create a situation that calls for it. Steph the writer says Liv's character has become one-dimensional. It's dragging the title down. I think the booking is dragging it down more than anything. I think Liv's doing really good with what she has. But when you make that title secondary to whoever the champion's boyfriend is at the time, you, at least for temporarily, it can make for an interesting storyline. But ultimately, it calls for something more substantial. Crazy 101 says, who to F approved that comment for Carlito? I wish I knew. I asked immediately and did not get an answer. Bad Robot says, considering maybe 2 weeks ago, Triple H had a presser saying he doesn't see color, gender, nationality, the Carlito line was tone deaf and dumb. Yeah, it certainly was. To let that get through, especially after that controversy, to me seemed an awful lot like a, here we go. Because listen, they ain't doing a presser till, oh, they might do one after Survivor Series, actually. But I'm just like, damn, man, like what's the benefit of that? It's just really weird, man. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee defeat the Creed brothers. Now, I wonder, besides the really cool gear, what have the Creed brothers gained out of this partnership so far? They are not particularly successful. Not that much more successful than they were before or with or American Alpha were. They lose quite a bit, it feels like. Like, Dragon Lee beat Julius Creed on Main Event the last time I watched them. They haven't wrestled in a month. I think they beat New Day, but they lost the street fight. They lost to the Wyatt Six back in August. So, like, they haven't been winning, like, consistently. And I would love to see that because, man, Julius and Brutus are just so phenomenal as athletes. They're so good as athletes. And they're really coming along as personalities. But listen, all things equal, their gear is super dope now. Their gear is so good now. Rey and Dragon Lee are a team I have been begging for a long time. Like, I've been wanting them to team because Rey is still incredible, right? Like, the things that he is capable of at his age are just unbelievable. And he's going to be around for a lot longer. And I say, why not extend that? Why not make that even easier on him at age 49 by giving him a tag team partner that can do, I don't want to say a lot of the heavy lifting because I don't want to diminish Rey Mysterio as a performer. You know what I mean? But someone that can do that stuff and sort of pass the torch along. So I love the idea of them teaming together. And while I'm not necessarily, you know, gung-ho about the Creed brothers losing, if it helps further my personal agenda of Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee being an effective team, well, hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Also, it looks like we're going to get a bit of an Ivy Nile Zelina thing. Zelina's done pretty good when given those opportunities. And I mean, she's a person they didn't originally
planned to wrestle at one point, and she has capitalized on every opportunity she's been given. Ryan says, Sean, with the Rolling Stone article, there were some comments in there saying that we don't think the company has changed even under Triple H. I wonder if you can pull writers there to compare how it is now under Vince. I have. And you spent a good amount of money on this super chat, so let me expand on this. I can only share the experiences in which have been shared with me. Almost unanimously, the people that I talked to that were there before and after say that it is worlds different and better. This is not from a PR perspective. It is from a staff, talent, production, writing team element. They all claim that it is way better without Vince, that there is not the walking on eggshells that was experienced under Vince. There was not, after Raw after Mania last year, someone said it was like the Tasmanian devil showed up, ate the script, and just left another one there. A lot of people were on edge. A lot of people were not comfortable. A lot of people didn't feel like they could put their entire creative force into the stories that they were working on because they didn't have any real confidence that Vince McMahon would let it go through. There were numerous instances where Vince McMahon would pitch a match and say, I think that match is good. And then people would go, well, Vince, you've done it three times in the last 2 months. I would think that you would think that that matchup would be good. He would forget people's names, whether it be the writing team or the wrestlers themselves. It was, I can tell you that morale in a locker room that I have covered in pro wrestling has never, I wouldn't say the lowest, tied with the lowest. TNA, like 2014, 2015, that area, 2016, like that really terrible era. And then WWE from about January 2022 up until Vince leaves. With a brief break, like when they brought in Cody, because there were a lot of people that thought, okay, this is WWE gaining a lot of momentum from AEW by grabbing Cody. The Royal Rumble, I'll give you a couple of big examples. Fiend and Seth Rollins, there are certain situations that are so bad that they develop sources for me as a newsbreaker. That was one of them. And then the Royal Rumble 2022 was one where people were so unsatisfied and pissed off with how Vince was from a creative standpoint, from a wrestling standpoint, that they were ready to talk that shit, man. They were ready to talk that shit. Ryan, thank you so much for that super chat. But I will say this, the people that I've talked to claim that things are better there. Are there any other feuds for Liv and the plans? I think a lot of people are tired of the Liv Rhea stuff. They plan on continuing some tag stuff being integrated with Raquel. I don't know if that's like a long-term thing or just something they'll do here and there. Right now, the priority is Rhea, but they're still going to have her do some team stuff here and there. Dream Ninja says, the Rhea pop never disappoints. Dom sold that toss over the top rope so well. I love the Raquel Lash stare down showing Lash's size. Oh, that was good. Lash is an athlete, bro. An athlete. Dominic sells his ass off, man. I've made this comparison a number of times. Not the outside the ring stuff. The inside the ring, the performance stuff. I don't see Rey Mysterio. I don't see Eddie Guerrero. I see Art Barr within the confines of the barricade. And that's a compliment. Of course, Ray and Dragon Lee has a distraction finish, of course. R. Patrick Moore says, proud of your soapbox soliloquy. Listen, I am. If there are people that are not offended by what Carlito said, that's fine. I wouldn't say offended. I don't think I'm in a position to be offended. But somebody that I care about and their opinion means an awful lot to me was clearly bothered by it. And that means something to me. And to me, I don't think it means you never watch a show again just because you feel that way. But
I'm just like, why put your talent that might not feel comfortable speaking up for themselves in that position? We get the Jay and Bron Breakker video package, a Jay Uso interview, a Bron Breakker interview. I thought that Bron, he's gotten so much more natural with these. And obviously Jay's a natural. I'm ready for them to move on. I think they are. Because obviously we got the IC title match here tonight, and Bron certainly deserves to be in that picture. Jay had to win the title at some point, because otherwise people were just going to stop buying him in those positions, right? Like, if he didn't win a singles title at some point, people were just going to stop believing that he could. So I think that run was important, and it didn't hurt Bron Breakker that much. Bron defeats Jey Uso. It's an okay match. It's got a bunch of shenanigans. You know the drill. But there were some interesting things to emerge from this. One, Bron Breakker becomes IC champion again. It also, I buy into his reasoning. Like, he came out there and he showed Jey Uso a ton of respect. He wasn't salty about the loss. He was salty about the perceived lack of reciprocation of that respect. He felt like he deserved that as well. And I believe that he is a guy that perpetually has a chip on his shoulder. So I buy into that. More than the IC title match, more than the title change, more than the two promos, more than Solo Sikoa getting involved, the thing that I took the most from this was the face-off between Bron Breakker and Jacob Fatu. Now, I'm working on a little bit of something here, but WWE knows what they're doing with Jacob Fatu. There's no way they do not know what they have with Jacob Fatu. And I fully believe that, at least on screen, Solo Sikoa is being sold as the Wolf Tickets tribal chief of that bloodline. Tama and Tongaloa are also involved. They create the distraction, which leads to Jacob Fatu attacking Jey Uso. After Jey Uso said he was not going to get involved in this bloodline saga, this will certainly motivate him to do that, which is an important plot point. Why would Jey Uso just walk right back to his brother and Roman Reigns? It would make him look dumb. Sammy's
need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built. 50 years ago, it's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get one-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $5.99 each. Then get select varieties of Lay's or Kettle Cooked potato chips for $1.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Zayn sees the best in people. So, I feel like he would be easily convinced, and that leads to a reason for Kevin Owens to further go off, which I'm fascinated by. Love that. We had some news on his deal and all that on the Q&A show on Fightful Select this week. Please subscribe. Just $5 a month or $54 a year. But I want to address this. Kind of pointless moment with this pathetic title reign. IC title is a hot potato right now. When did we get to the point where we needed every title reign to be like lengthy to matter? And I'm not trying to diminish you or minimize your point here. I get it.
I grew up in an era where, honestly, I think a lot of the title reigns were way too short. Way too short. But they happened, and they created some cool moments. And the IC title still meant something back then in the late 90s as well. Like, I still remember when Goldust won it. I still remember when The Rock won it, when Triple H won it, when Ken Shamrock won it, like all that stuff. Like, I don't think we need super long reigns all the time. I think it's okay to have shorter title reigns. I think it's okay to do some hot potato stuff. That's fine. We just had Gunther hold that thing for 666 days. And Sammy held it for like 4 months after that. So for the better part of 2 years, we had two guys hold that belt. I'm okay with that. Why did they do it? They did it. Somebody says, I like the way they set this up to motivate Jey Uso to want to go back to the bloodline. Now, right now we've got, you know, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, Tagovailoa, Jacob Fatu. You got Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, and I feel like it needs to be Sami Zayn. Cody Rhodes does not need to be involved in that part of it. That's where Cody Rhodes should be like, that's family business. I wouldn't want you butting in if my brother showed up over here. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. Irwin says, "Woo boy, that Braun and Jacob Fatu stare down felt like I was floating." Oh man, I'm very excited to see that match unfold. Very excited to see that match unfold. Guys, you're going to see a lot of scoops unfold on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. Quick rundown. We have at least one exclusive news story a day, usually two. We got Select Answers, which is me answering your Q&As via text. We have the Fightful Report podcast, where I go over exclusive news and do a Q&A. The Weekender podcast. If you ever say, why don't you cover this show? The answer is we do. It's on the Weekender. We have the Sour Graps, Raw, SmackDown, and a bunch of AEW reviews over there. We have pay-per-view preview shows, all for $5 a month or $54 a year. You can also go a tier up, get early access to our interviews. Lots of cool stuff over there. I just want to say thank you all to you all who do support us. If you can't tell, I am very passionate about supporting original creators. I've been in the position in the past where I couldn't afford that or couldn't do that. I completely understand that. But listen, these engagement accounts out there, there is not a one of them that I haven't had to correct at least a number of times based on how things are misrepresented. So I encourage you guys, always check out original reporting. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. I would greatly appreciate that. Denise will be back next week. I am back on the hump this Wednesday as things stand. Until next time, guys, we're out.